Today is the great and glorious feast of the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is also the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. And the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brethren, we give thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For in him were all things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and in him. And he is before all, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may hold the primacy, because in him it hath well pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, making peace through the blood of his cross, both as to the things that are on earth and are the things that are in heaven, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 18. At that time, Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or have others told it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee up to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence." Pilate therefore said to him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. For this was I born, and for this I came into the world, that I should give testimony to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In him it hath well pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, making peace through the blood of his cross. Words taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Many years ago, my dear faithful, a holy old monk named Cassianus knelt in a church with his eyes upon the crucifix. With all his heart, he was begging God that God would take him from this world to heaven. For long years, he had prayed and worked for the salvation of souls, but finally, he grew weary of the wickedness of men. While Cassianus was thus praying, he saw the five wounds of the crucified figure on the cross. They began to shine white like diamonds. Then drops fell from them, not of blood, but drops of sparkling crystal water. Faster and faster the drops fell until they formed a steady shining stream flowing down the altar. The glistening water lit up the dark church and filled the monk with joy at this beautiful sight. The water flowed down and out through the main door of the chapel. A voice then sounded from Cassianus' side. "The living waters of grace, which I won for men by my death on the cross." Cassianus turned back from the water, and he beheld our Lord himself standing there, explaining to him the symbolism behind this shining water. Struck with wonder and awe, the monk knelt there in silence. Our Savior commanded him then, "Come with me." Cassiano stood, and they walked together through the church and made their way to the peak of the church tower. The town, the streets and the houses, and all the townspeople were beneath them now. And the stream of shining water flowed throughout the place. Some people knelt down to drink from it, and Cassianos then leapt for joy as he beheld their souls become radiant and shined through their bodies. The monk turned to our Savior and asked, "Who are these happy ones, my Lord?" "These are the souls in whom God reigns by his grace, so that they do his will." Then our Lord said again, "Come with me." And in a moment, the divine master and his monk stood outside the gate of heaven. Below lay the entire world with all its countries and each of its cities. And running all throughout were again rivers of living water. Everywhere, souls in the state of grace shined like stars, lighting up the darkness of the earth. Wonder struck Cassianos as he watched the earth beneath him shining like a night sky. Great was his joy when he saw new stars added, new lights growing amidst the darkness. That is, new souls given grace. But the good monk knew terror as well. When here and there, sometimes just one, at other times an entire group of stars would vanish and darkness would swallow them. Our Lord explained the meaning behind this vision, saying, "It is the kingdom of God come upon earth." Cassianus nodded in understanding, but he did not take his eyes from the kingdom, the shining, resplendent kingdom spread out beneath him. He felt he could stare at this sweeping beauty forever while he watched and prayed for it to grow. After what seemed only a short while, our Savior interrupted his wondering silence again. "Now, Cassianus," Christ said in a tone of authority, "now you shall choose for yourself. You may go into heaven straight away by this gate, or you may go back to earth for 7 more years to work and pray for the kingdom of God. Which will you choose?" Cassianus glanced at the gate at his side, thinking of the eternal bliss that lay behind it. Then he looked back down upon the earth, where the wickedness of men had so disgusted him before that he prayed for his life to end. Cassianus pondered for barely a moment, though, and almost immediately answered, "Dear Lord, let me go back to earth for 7 more years." Thereupon, he found himself alone again in the dark church. And for the next 7 years, he spent himself to the fullest for the salvation of souls. His favorite prayer throughout the rest of his life was the Our Father. And his favorite words from it were, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Often he would stop at this part of the Our Father and slowly say them over and over again, praying for the light of grace to brighten even just one more soul. At the end of these 7 years, "Thy kingdom come" were the last words this good monk spoke. He had spent himself for the kingdom of God, and he gave of himself most gladly. This good monk, my dear faithful, gave himself so joyfully, for he knew that only in that kingdom of God would those souls truly know happiness. That is, only when they submit themselves to the divine King, for our Lord Jesus Christ truly is King. For this was I born, and for this I came into the world, our Lord told Pontius Pilate in today's gospel. That is, he declared to Pilate that he is King of Kings, King over all creation, and it was God the Father who made him king. As today's epistle explains, in him it hath well pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, making peace through the blood of his cross. All fullness dwells in Christ. That is, all perfection, all grace, all power. For him, creation was made, and under him, all is united, ordered, and governed as subjects under their king. However, so many turn traitor, revolt against their divine king, and choose Satan for their master, whether knowingly or not. In the face of this revolt, today's epistle tells us, the King of Kings, determined to reconcile all things unto himself. That is, he would win back the souls of men to the kingdom of God. He would establish peace at whatever cost, even the price of his own most precious blood. He would pour his most precious blood on the guilt-ridden souls of men, washing them clean of their sin, and clothe them anew with the resplendent life of grace, as the monk Cassianus saw in his vision. Our Lord ascended the cross on Calvary so that he could conquer Satan and restore his reign over all men and their hearts. However, in this restoration and redemption, God demands that men do their part. By this, I mean that all men receive the grace necessary to salvation, and each must cooperate with that grace offered to them in order to be saved and redeemed. Our Lord established many means and aids, including the Mass and the sacraments, but truly the most essential is prayer. To encourage us and show us the power of prayer, our divine Savior promised, "Ask and it shall be given you, for everyone that asketh receiveth." We must ask then for grace to be given. However, we are not only to pray for ourselves. When you pray, our Lord told the apostles, say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." With those words, then, we pray for Christ to reign in souls more and more. It is as if we say, may men accept thy rule and submit to thy law. Like the apostles, we are to pray for the pouring out of grace upon the souls of men, because God has made that pouring out dependent upon our cooperation. The more and the better we pray, the more grace that is given, and the more souls that are converted. For this reason, St. Paul wrote, I desire, therefore, first of all, that prayers be made for all men. Our Lady told us the same at Fatima. Many souls go to hell because no one is willing to help them with prayer and sacrifice. Souls are lost without the prayers of their fellow men, and how much we see that today. So few have a true Christian prayer life, and look at the state of the current world because of it. The rivers of God's grace are still there, as Cassianus saw in his vision. The most precious blood of our Lord and Redeemer flows to each soul. Sufficient grace is given to each one to be saved, but so many are too busy with the things of the world and so forgetful of God. And the more souls are lost to God's grace, so much greater grows their evil influence and bad example, leading even more souls away from God and into rebellion against the King of Kings. This, my dear faithful, has led to our modern world, with the chaos and confusion in the church, unjust and immoral laws in our country, as well as the immorality rampant in society. But always, there is hope. Christ still reigns as King of Kings. The price has already been paid. His blood has been spilt, and the infinite merit he earned waits only to be distributed. God waits, my dear faithful, for someone to ask, for us to ask, so that grace can be given. We then must do our part, like Cassianus, that great and holy monk. We must offer prayers for the salvation of all men, the conversion of our country, and for the restoration of the church. With all patience and confidence in our merciful Savior and his Blessed Mother, let us pray the Rosary of Our Lady. And when we come to those words in the Our Father, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," remember what you are praying for. Your prayers can, my dear faithful, make the difference in the salvation of souls. Pray then as our divine King has commanded. Ask God that the hearts of men be touched and changed, and through them, the world with them. Let not a day pass that you fail to pray that the kingdom of God may grow and grow. Every day, my dear faithful, let us unite our prayers with Christ, the saints, and our Holy Mother, the Church, and storm heaven. For the salvation of souls truly does rely on prayers, including ours. You may not see the effect you have brought about in this life. It may be that only when you stand before the judgment seat of the King of Kings and your life with every thought, word, and action is weighed in the balance, it may be only then that you see the procession of souls that you prayed for, that your prayers helped save, as they shine with the light of grace and enjoy eternal bliss in the kingdom of heaven. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.